18.
Urdvam gacchanti sattvasta madhye tishtanti rajasaha jaganya guna vrittista adho gacchanti tamasaha.
Translation. Those situated in the mode of goodness gradually go upward to the higher planets. Those in the mode of passion live on the earthly planets, and those in the abominable mode of ignorance go down to the hellish worlds. Text 19. Nanyam gunebhya karataram yadadrashtanupashati gunebhyas chaparam veti madbhavam sodigachanti.
Translation. When one properly sees that in all activities no other performer is at work than these modes of nature, and he knows the Supreme Lord who is transcendental to all these modes, he attains my spiritual nature.
Text 20. Gunan etan atityatrin dehi deha samudbhavan janma mrityu jara dukair vimukto mritam ashnute.
Translation. When the embodied being is able to transcend these three modes associated with the material body, he can become free from birth, death, old age, and their distresses, and can enjoy nectar even in this life.
And finally, text 21. Arjuna uvacha kailingai strin gunan etan atito bhavati prabho kim achara katam chaitans trin gunan ativartate.
Translation. Arjuna inquired, O my dear Lord, by which symptoms is one known who is transcendental to these three modes? What is his behavior, and how does he transcend the modes of nature?
Going back to text 11.
The manifestations of the mode of goodness can be experienced when all the gates of the body are illuminated by knowledge, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. There are 9 gates in the body, 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 nostrils, the mouth, the genitals, and the anus. When every gate is illuminated by the symptoms of goodness, it should be understood that one has developed the mode of goodness. In the mode of goodness, one can see things in the right position. One can hear things in the right position, and one can taste things in the right position. One becomes cleansed inside and outside. In every gate, there is development of the symptoms of happiness, and that is the position of goodness.
So, the eyes, for example, like to see beautiful things, especially very bright things, very attractive colors, symmetry. Of course, when one is in the mode of goodness, then he likes to see things like sunsets and forests, the sea, the stars. And he likes to see natural things. When one's in the mode of passion, he likes to see Las Vegas. All the lights. It's the glare of light, nightlife attracts him very much. Or he likes to see the beauty of the opposite sex, beautiful form of the opposite sex. That's the mode of eyes in the mode of passion, that's what they want to see. Eyes in the mode of ignorance, they like very dark. And everything dark, and they like to actually see the eyelids. In other words, they like to sleep a lot. They like to just see the dark of the eyelids. And so we're recommended to
try to use the senses in goodness. But better than seeing the beauty of the sea or the beauty of the sun. These are good, there's no doubt, especially if one appreciates how nature is so attractive. That's good, but there's something better, and that's called Shuddhasattva. And if one looks at the form of Krishna, Krishna's form is not just good, it's transcendental. So if one fixes the eyes on the beautiful form of Krishna, then automatically he attains to goodness. And the ears like to hear sounds. We like to hear. Some people, Prabhupada kind of laughed. He said that you Westerners, you like to hear the sound of machines. And it's true. We actually have become, when we hear machines, we feel very comfortable. Oh, good. Everything's all right. There's nice machines going on now. If we go to a place, I've actually experienced, because we were living in some farm communities and different things, and we had devotees there who were not accustomed to living in a quiet atmosphere, and they were so disturbed that it was quiet. They needed to have machines and sounds of sirens and, you know, cars screeching. Then they felt comfortable. So this is our conditioning, mode of ignorance, mode of passion. It's like modern music, very passionate. Becoming more passionate, more ignorant. And some are attracted to music in the mode of goodness, which inspires one to think more gently and kindly towards others. But if we become attracted to the chanting of Hare Krishna, to Krishna's name, that's not only good, but it's super good. It's transcendentally good. I was thinking the other day, we've heard someone complaining about the sound of kartals. Even someone thought that kartals, you know, it's kind of brash. But that brash sound is actually what we need. That brash sound of the kartals is meant to wake us up and to get us out of trying to enjoy this material world. It's meant to fix our mind, to help us fix our mind on the sound of Krishna's name. Otherwise, we like even the sound, even not to hear anything. That's also sense gratification. It's like the Mayavadis, they take a vow of Mona. Mona Vrata means silence. And they're very proud that I've vowed not to speak anything, to be silent. But that's another sense gratification. Still, you're trying to enjoy this material world, either sounds or no sounds. Just like the materialists are always thinking, I'm going to possess this. I'm going to enjoy it and possess it. And the impersonalists, they're thinking, I'm going to renounce it and I'm going to give it up. And they're very proud. Both are proud. One's proud of enjoying and owning, and the other's proud of renouncing and giving it up and having nothing. But neither one is in the proper consciousness. The devotee is in the proper consciousness because he neither thinks of enjoying it or renouncing it. He considers that everything belongs to Krishna and everything should be used for his pleasure. Just like my ears. My ears are meant to be used for Krishna's pleasure. How can Krishna get pleasure through my ears? When I'm engaged in hearing the sound of Krishna's name or the glories of Krishna. Going on to text 12. O chief of the Bharatas, when there is an increase in the mode of passion, the symptoms of great attachment, fruit of activity, intense endeavor, and uncontrollable desire and hankering develop. This chapter is very practical. One who reads this chapter, the three modes of material nature, will have to admit that the Bhagavad Gita is very appropriate and very practical. It's not just some kind of heavenly talking about something off in the sky. This is right down to earth. It's everyday life, and we can see that. Sometimes people say this is your Hindu religion. So this is not Hindu religion. This is the absolute truth. When there is an increase in the mode of passion, the symptoms of great attachment, fruit of activity, all these things, they actually develop. You can see them. It's not that only Hindus, it only applies to Hindus. It applies to everyone. This is a science. 13. When there is an increase in the mode of ignorance, O son of Kuru, darkness, inertia, madness, and illusion are manifested. It's important that we understand the manifestations of what happens, because then we can analyze ourselves. We can see when we're inclined towards inertia, darkness, madness, illusion. This is the mode, we can know this is the mode of ignorance acting. And when we see uncontrollable desire and hankering, great attachment, this is the mode of passion. And when we see all the gates of the body are illuminated by knowledge, this is goodness. And we need to try to elevate from ignorance to passion, passion to goodness. And of course, ultimately, to go beyond goodness. But we need to see how these things are working, how they're acting on us, how we are helpless. That's another point. In the material world, the last verse, if I'm not mistaken, was that when one sees that there's nothing acting except these three modes, that the soul is just helplessly being tossed around. The waves of the modes of nature are smashing him, lifting him up. Sometimes when one's in the ocean, he's lifted up very high by the wave. And then at the next moment, crash down. He has no freedom. He's not independent. He's controlled. As long as we remain in this material world, we'll be controlled by the modes of material nature. Daivi hyesha gunamayi mamamaya durattaya mamaiva ye prapadyante mayamaitam tarantite. It's very difficult to cross over this ocean of material maya, but it is possible when one surrenders to Krishna. Text 14. When one dies in the mode of goodness, he attains to the pure higher planets of the great sages. 15. When he dies in the mode of passion, he takes birth among those engaged in fruitive activities. And when one dies in the mode of ignorance, he takes birth in the animal kingdom. This means one can go down also. Human life is a crossroads. One can go up, or one can go down, or one can stay in the same level, depending on his consciousness. And one has to make arrangements to raise the consciousness from ignorance. When we're little, when we're born, we're completely in ignorance. Don't know anything about cleanliness, don't have any knowledge, don't even know how to eat. If somebody doesn't put the food in our mouth, we'll just die. That's ignorance. And we get educated, but unfortunately, most of the education is passionate with some ignorance and a little bit of goodness. But if we come to Krishna consciousness,
then the whole education becomes pure good, purely good. We learn how to do everything in a way that will elevate our consciousness. How to think, how to see, how to eat. It's like we didn't know how to eat, we were eating all the wrong things. How to mate, how to defend, how to sleep, when to sleep. We were thinking it's good to go to bed very late and get up very late. Actually, it's better to go to bed early and get up very early. That's more in the mode of goodness. Brahma Muhurta, the time before sunset, a few hours before sunset. This is called the Brahma Muhurta. Did I say sunset? Sunrise. Before sunrise is called Brahma Muhurta. Brahma means it's the spiritual time, and one can make advancement spiritually very easily at that time. That's why those who are intelligent, they're awake at that time, and they're chanting and reading Vedic literatures so that they're, as they say, making hay. There's a saying in agriculture that you make the hay while the sun is shining. Isn't it right, Alankar? Yes. You make hay while the sun is shining, while the sun's out. Because if you don't, when it's out, you have to cut the hay and bale it. Otherwise, if you wait and it rains, then you lose the whole thing becomes ruined. So, similarly, Brahma Muhurta is the best time to make spiritual advancement. So we should adjust our schedule so that we can be alert and awake at that time and make the most progress. 16. The result of pious action is pure and is said to be in the mode of goodness. But action done in the mode of passion results in misery, and action performed in the mode of ignorance results in foolishness. Text 17. From the mode of goodness, real knowledge develops. From the mode of passion, greed develops. And from the mode of ignorance, develop foolishness, madness, and illusion. 18. Those situated in the mode of goodness gradually go upward to the higher planets. Those in the mode of passion live on the earthly planets. And those in the abominable mode of ignorance go down to the hellish worlds. 19. When one properly sees that in all activities no other performer is at work than these three modes of nature, he knows, and he knows the Supreme Lord who is transcendental to all these modes, he attains my spiritual nature. So a devotee is one who knows the Supreme Lord, the controller of this material energy. And he also knows how material energy is working. He's not naive. He knows quite well how things are going on. It's like the Vedic literatures. They warn one, watch out for Maya. Don't think that you will be able to surmount the modes of nature by yourself. You will not. You will be very easily smashed. But if you take shelter of Krishna, then you can do it. In other words, Maya is so strong, it's just impossible for us to get free. Sometimes the example is given that when the fly tries to go out of a clear window, he doesn't understand that why he's being blocked. He sees the light, and because he has eyes, but his eyes aren't that perfect. He can't really understand glass so well. So he goes smash into the glass again and again and again. He'll never get out by his own smashing into the glass. But if someone kindly helps him out, then he can be free. So in the same way, only by the grace of Guru and Krishna can we get out of this material energy. And that means we have to be a little submissive
Submission is a good quality in spiritual life. If one is proud and unsubmissive to spiritual authorities, then he will not be able to get out. Because then, why should anyone want to help you? If you're someone's drowning and you throw him a rope and you make all kinds of endeavors to go and pull him out, and then he starts hitting you, cursing you, well, some people might just say, all right, do it on your own. Because he's, at least we should be submissive and humble, ready to take the help. Krishna is willing to help us. The spiritual master is specially sent by Krishna to pull us out, and we have to be at least a little cooperative. Then, text 20, when the embodied being is able to transcend these three modes associated with the material body, he can become free from birth, death, old age, and their distresses, and can enjoy nectar even in this life. Yes, transcending the modes. The main reason we need to understand the modes is to understand how to get free from them, how they work, so that we can get out of them. It's not that we want to become absorbed in the three modes of material nature and then remain entangled by them or controlled by them, but actually we want to get out of them. In another place, next chapter, it's described that the banyan tree and upside down banyan tree, and the living entities are trying to enjoy the fruits on the banyan tree. But one has to, he has to cut himself free from this tree with the transcendental knowledge. And the last text, Arjuna inquired, "Oh, my dear Lord, by which symptoms is one known who is transcendental to these modes? What is his behavior and how does he transcend the modes of nature?" Are there any questions? So the question is about the moment of death. Is it just that moment, or is that a composite of one's whole life? Generally, one thinks of at the time of death, in normal case, he thinks of what he's been thinking of throughout his life. He just continues thinking about the same thing because that's what he's accustomed to think about. And generally, people are thinking about how to live and enjoy their senses. And so they continue thinking like that at the time of death. They want the same things they wanted earlier. Their desires are the same. I want to live. I don't want to die. And I want to enjoy myself. I want to have a nice, healthy body. And I want to have lots of money. And I want to be very famous and popular. It's the same. Same thing. A person who's about to die, he has the same desires. So, nothing different. Whereas a person in transcendence, transcendental consciousness, what is he thinking about his whole life? He's thinking, I want to please Krishna. I want to do what's most satisfactory to my spiritual master. So at the time of death, he's thinking that also. He's thinking, Hare Krishna, I want to think of Krishna, I want to go back to Krishna, I want to serve Krishna. Same thing. There are some exceptional cases where someone may think of something a little different at the time of death, but generally speaking, whatever we practice to think about, it's like sometimes you're driving with someone and the car seems like it's going to be an accident, and they start screaming, or because they're accustomed just to, you know,
to losing their consciousness, to not, they don't know what to think about, or just being afraid. What is the use in being afraid? If you're about to die, what is the good of being afraid? How's that going to help you? Or screaming, ah. What good does it do you? Why not practice so that when death does come, you're ready? Hare Krishna. Because that will actually take you back to home. But if you chant just, ah, or oh no, you know, there's no real benefit. But we're just conditioned. We don't think. Because we're used to thinking, I'm not going to die, when death starts to come, we say, oh no. Because we've always been saying, oh no, I'm not going to die. But a devotee knows, I am going to die, it is coming, and I should be ready for it. Let me practice chanting Hare Krishna all the time. Other question? The gates of the body are illuminated by knowledge in goodness. Well, Prabhupada's giving the key here that his gates are all illuminated. He uses knowledge to engage those gates. He knows how to eat with knowledge, to smell the right things, to see the right things. He's illuminated with knowledge. He uses his genital with knowledge, not with ignorance. He uses the anus with knowledge. Everything with knowledge. That's the idea. It's all illuminated. Well, for example, a person in the mode of goodness, he'll also be vegetarian. That's more a mode of goodness. So he knows that if I eat these particular foods, then it'll be easier to digest, it'll be less agitating, and it'll be healthier, so many things. So that's goodness. That's a person in the mode of passion. Well, we're going to hear about it. What does a person in the mode of passion eat? Very hot things, very spicy, very bitter, very sour, very... And what does the person in the mode of ignorance eat? Things that are decomposed, flesh, you know, dead carcasses. So this is the mode of ignorance, mode of passion, and then the mode of goodness. So you can see, even in eating, even in seeing things, as we mentioned before, he prefers, a nice day for him would be to go to the forest. He thinks this is great. Person in the mode of goodness, go to the forest or go to the seaside. Whereas a person in the mode of passion wants to go to the beach and, you know, go enjoy himself. And the person in the mode of ignorance just wants to sleep or take drugs. That's ignorance. So everything that the person in the mode of goodness does, he wants to eat nice fruits and vegetables. And when he speaks, he likes to, when he thinks about reading something, he wants to read some poetry or some philosophy, something to improve his knowledge about life, about doing good to others. And the person in the mode of passion, he just wants to hear about lusty activities. And the mode of ignorance, he wants to hear about killing, destruction. He likes to hear more and more about that. How many were killed today? See? So, person in the mode of goodness, his gates of his body are all geared towards illumination, towards doing nice things, doing the good things, towards elevation. If you ask him, what would you like after this life, what would you like to be? He'd say, I'd like to go to the heavenly planets. Or I'd like to go up. Or you said, when a person is too much in the mode of ignorance, transcendental things are irritating. Question is, can we use a person who is very much in the mode of ignorance, can he use passion and goodness on the way to transcendence? Yes, you can do that. That takes longer. If you just take transcendence, then you save a lot of time. Otherwise, it's like going up step by step, up thousands of steps. This step, and this step. And whereas bhakti yoga is the elevator, takes you right to the top, transcendental activity. So if we can do that, that's better. Just like there are many, so many musical songs you could sing, classical music, for example, more in the mode of goodness than, you know, rap or something. So, but we don't recommend, why don't you listen to some nice classical? We don't sell classical music here. But we say, just chant Hare Krishna and go beyond that. Why not go immediately to the transcendence? We don't just tell people to become vegetarians. We say, offer your food to Krishna. And take the vegetarian food that's been offered to Krishna, then it becomes transcendental. There's no need to stop at goodness or passion. Go right up. So the question is, am I saying in some way there's no need of varnashrama? Yes, there's no need of varnashrama. Just take the devotional service and go back to Godhead and don't even worry about varnashrama. That's what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita we read the other day. Just love me, that's it. But for those who cannot love him, then bhakti yoga. For those who cannot practice bhakti yoga, then there's all sorts of other levels. But if you can go, if you can go back to Godhead in this lifetime, then do that. That's best. Varnashram. Varnashram means there are four divisions of society, both for occupational divisions and for religious orders or spiritual orders. Varna and ashram. And that is for the basis, you could say that's the basis for a cultured life. Even within the category of devotional service, we don't renounce varnashram. For example, we're living here in this earth and we're interested in going back to the spiritual world, but we're still walking on the earth. So we're still walking on varnashram also. We don't say, to try to abandon it, but it's not, we don't become attached to it either. As long as it's helpful, we use it. It's like this earth. We're not attached to walking on the earth and living on the earth. But for the time being, we can use it in Krishna's service. So the question is, if someone is a Shudra, working as a Shudra, and he gets inspired and he wants to become a Brahmin, yes, he can do that. And there are examples. There was one boy, his name was Jabal, and he went to Gotama, and he said, I want to study, and I want to be your disciple. So Gotama said, well, what's your family? What are you? What is your family? And he said, I don't know. He said, go ask your mother. So he went back and asked his mother what family, and she said, "I don't know." So then the boy came back and said, "My mother doesn't know." She said, "Well, ask her what your father is." So he went back and asked his mother, "Mother, what's my father?" She said, "Son, I don't know what your father is. I don't know who your father is." So then he went back and he told the sage, "My mother doesn't know who my father is." So then Gotama said, "All right, I'll accept you because you're truthful. That's a quality of a brahmana. A person who is not truthful, duplicious, he wouldn't like to say that he doesn't know who his father is or like that." So he accepted him on the basis of his qualification, not on the birth. So yes. Just like now, we see people that are engaged in sudra activities or lower than sudra activities. As soon as they get the desire to become elevated and become Krishna conscious, then they come and the devotees are happy to educate them. Question is, can someone become a Vaishnava? Yes, you can become a Vaishnava immediately. Even from the lowest. Papi tapi jato chila hari nama udurilo tar sakshi jagai marhai. Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda are delivering the most fallen, and the example is jagai marhai. Who could be more sinful than those? They were doing everything, killing, raping, you name it. They were doing it. But then, and they even attacked Nityananda Prabhu with a pot and caused blood to flow from his... Lord Chaitanya he was invoking his Sudarshan Chakra to deliver them. And then they surrendered. They got some good intelligence at that point that we should surrender. So they surrendered and they became great devotees in just a moment. They were counted amongst the great, great devotees of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. Yeah, that's his 100 years. 5,000 years. Is his equivalent of his 100 years. No, it's actually longer. But of course it's all relative in the material world. There is a time factor in the material world. In the spiritual world, there's no time factor. It's all eternal. So there's no time. Here there's time. So yes, there's longer and there's shorter. It's relative. So that tree is, he's enjoying that long life. It's not such a lively, exciting life, but because he's dull, his consciousness is very dull, he doesn't mind just standing in one place, not going anywhere. So the question is, how did they preach? Well, as far as Lord Chaitanya, he was inviting everyone to chant Hare Krishna. He didn't care. He didn't care whether they were Mohammedans or Buddhists or Karmis or Mleches. Everyone was invited to chant and become purified. Well, if you say go back further at the time of Lord Krishna, Krishna also wanted everyone to surrender. It's like when he went to Mathura, there was the Kubja. She was a hunchback prostitute. He engaged her in Krishna's service. And then there was the washerman, and he tried to engage him in his service. He said, "Why don't you give me those clothes?" And all the washerman would have had to do is say, "Yes, my lord, you're the most worthy. Now these clothes will be properly utilized, adorning your transcendental form." But he didn't say that. He began to chastise Krishna. So he got... And then the florist, Sudama the florist, he gave his best garlands to the Lord. Well, he went back to Godhead, went back to Vaikuntha for doing that. So he was a Shudra. So it doesn't matter. Krishna wants everyone to engage in his service under all circumstances. Narad Muni is the chief preacher amongst the Vaishnavas. And wherever he goes, he's always encouraging, whether they're hunters, he tells them to become devotees, or whether they're sons of Daksha, they should become, or whether they're kings or demons. He's always encouraging everyone to come to Krishna. The question is there any cardinal sins that if you commit, then that's it, burn in hell forever? In Krishna consciousness, no. That shouldn't be taken advantage of course, but even if one kills a brahmana, then he can be delivered from that by engaging in devotional service. Thank you very much. Bhagavad Gita as it is, ki jai.